Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Hour. I'm back from Washington.
Yeah, he's Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
not the West Coast.
Although I would love to visit
some. I've heard it's some great views there.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe awesome. We should head there.
Take it on the road.
Yeah. Actually, what? Is Washington Democratic?
Yes.
It must be. That'll be fun. Anyway, interesting week in politics.
It is.
US politics. Well, US and global, but we'll just be talking
about the
US.
Should we reintroduce ourselves?
Yes, that would be a very good start.
I'm James.
I'm Eva.
And you're listening to The Atlantic Hour.
We're all alone in the studio.
We are.
Everyone's abandoned us. I think midterms are coming up. People
are just too anxious about the elections.
Yeah, so they can't talk about it.
Concerns, yeah.
I know. Although a lot of I've seen, but people are like now signing up for absentee ballots. A lot of my friends have, and the ballot itself. Have you seen a ballot?
Yeah, I have. Actually, I was looking.
I was so confused for like.
You're voting.
Oh, well, you have a ballot yourself.
I'm going to be doing mine in person.
Oh, mental. But there are so many different.
Yeah, you can even vote for your local dog catcher, I think.
What? That's mental. Yeah, but I would just get very confused because, like, surely people know that people aren't aware to vote for so many.
In most instances, there's less chance of split ticket voting, so you're not going to vote for a different. Senator or rep than you would
usually.
Presidential candidate unless you have a real
dislike.
Exactly.
Okay, interesting. No, but I was just I thought it was just like the presidential candidates, but it's multiple different people. Anyway, that was a bit of a tangent.
So this week we are going to be talking about both candidates' media campaigns in the final stretch of the election. We're going to be looking at Trump's recent rallies in Pennsylvania, so the all-female town hall, Aurora, Arizona, and we're going to be speculating on his famed appearance at Madison Square Garden. I know he's been looking forward to that.
Yes.
And from the Harris campaign, we're going to be talking about her media blitz, the recent Fox News interview, and the conversation she had with Charlemagne, who we've confirmed is not the 10th century king.
Can I just fact check the dates there? Because I would hate to. I would hate it to be wrong.
Guys, as a history student, that would be very embarrassing for me.
Oh, it's 9th century. Sorry, it was close. So we don't dabble with ancient history, but. Yeah, no, it's been a very interesting week in this wasn't briefed in James's beautiful brief as he just gave.
Thank you.
But we were having dinner on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And someone brought our attention to a third assassination attempt.
Oh, yes.
Sorry, I just wanted to that's been on my mind quite a bit. I think assassination attempt is a bit much. I'm not too sure what the logistics of the attempt, where they definitely weren't as, I think they're getting progressively less impressive as the assassination attempts go down.
Well, I think they're being stopped a lot earlier.
Yeah, also I think because there have been at least two, which I think we can confirm, assassination attempts, I think it's sort of a bit of a battle. It's like, oh, who can do it? You know, like, which is
at this
wild.
Point in the election,
you have to expect it. Yeah.
And obviously, again, we're not meaning to demean what is a systemic and very problematic issue around either gun rights or the fact that someone is
trying to assassinate someone,
a presidential candidate. Yeah, let alone another
just
human
a person.
Being
yeah, I mean, it's going to have a psychological effect on you.
Exactly.
And I don't think anybody would handle it particularly well.
But it's very telling that this attempt hasn't got much media attention now.
Yeah.
And it's not really doing anything politically. I mean, Trump hasn't even tried to use it politically. Because it's almost, I feel it's more shocking that in a presidential race, because of the candidate, people have some kind of expectation that something like this could happen to Trump now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a way that's probably unprecedented.
Yeah. So it happened outside Trump's Coachella rally. And I don't. Yeah, I think it's seen as like a prevented assassination attempt because he didn't actually get close to Trump. Mm. But the fact that it's in everybody's minds, well, not everybody's minds, some people want to kill Trump and are acting on those thoughts. And I think that's testament to, you know, just
how divisive he is as a figure.
Yes.
And that is in and of itself quite a difficult position to be in if you're a candidate and it's 3 weeks from the election because he knows he has a ceiling.
It's 17 days, 13 hours, 27 minutes and 35 seconds away.
That gave me a tingle.
Yeah, I think I refrain from saying the assassination attempts because Trump is unpopular because he obviously isn't unpopular. The polls are basically neck and neck. I think it's the fact that those who oppose Trump oppose him.
He's
so
a Marmite candidate.
This is true. Either love him or hate him. Although, actually, there are some voters who are kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I think that again, as we established, that's mainly a select, almost cherry-picked sliver of policies that they're trying to benefit from.
Yes.
And Harris is still not giving us the economic spiel that we want.
I don't think we're ever going to get it. I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, does she know what she wants?
I don't think
economy?
She does.
I feel like she wants to deliver exactly what Biden wanted.
But that's the core of the issue.
But she wants to package it as something new. And if the Trump campaign targeted that, I'm sorry to say, I think that election would be a write-off.
Well, I think in August, a lot of the Democrats were very confident, especially following the presidential debate, that Harris is clearly the stronger, more coherent candidate. Mm. 17 days to the election, I don't think the Democrats think that anymore. Mm. I think...
Well, the only qualification is the Democrats always saw themselves the underdog. They didn't want to portray themselves in the way Hillary Clinton had in 2016, is arrogantly thinking that it was a wash and that Trump could never be in office.
Do you think that had something to do with the fact that her husband was president before?
I think that, I mean, as we saw at the start of Trump's political career with the whole birth it campaigns, no one in either party really took him seriously. Mm. I mean, look at the Republican primaries in 2016. All the candidates thought there's no way he's even making it to the nomination, let alone to the White House. And he defied expectations so radically.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting election, I think. Mm. And I think I truly don't know who's going to win, I think. I don't really think anybody. I think we can hope. Like, I don't even think political advisors do. I think it's so neck and neck at this point. It's becoming even closer. And also, I think because people won't really change their opinions now, it's more solidifying people who maybe want to vote for a third party. Because, you know, there are some people who are staunch Democrats, but they don't believe that Harris knows what she's doing. But they would never vote for Trump, so they'd vote for a third party because they just don't think either candidate is up to the job.
And I think at this point, Harris knows that this everywhere, all at once strategy has certain limits.
Yes.
So she's been doing the podcast, she's been doing the tough interviews, but how many people can she really reach at this point? That is the...
Yeah. I also think even if she performed at her best in these interviews, which I don't think she is, I think she started at a high with the debate and media appearances since then have gone downhill in her favour. Mm. Even if she was performing at her best, I think so close to an election deadline, it's not gonna change too many opinions.
I mean, I was listening to something recently that said, what would be best for the Harris campaign? Would it be positive information being disseminated in the media about her?
Mm-hmm.
Or would it be negative information cycling about Trump? And I feel like that brings back to the question of, is it Trump's election to lose still?
Okay, I have a... Okay, what I'd say to that is, I'm going to say positive media coverage on Harris, because...
I'm going to play devil's advocate in a second. But...
Because people expect Trump to be wacky. Mm-hmm. People, you know... The reason that the whole Biden kind of losing his mind was such a big deal was because until then he'd been a sort of like, you know, coherent political figure, you know. I mean, his age regardless, he wasn't absolutely mental. But so then when he kind of lost his ability to you know, debate articulate, clearly. Yeah, articulate. See, I'm like Biden. Everyone was shocked. However, Trump has always been like this. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's getting worse, and we can talk about that later. But if Trump goes out on stage and, as we're about to discuss, does his whole Pennsylvania dancing thing, people don't blink an eye. They're just like, that's so Trump. Whereas if Harris was to do that, so negative media coverage of Trump is expected. Whereas if Harris was to go out and do something like that, everyone would be like, that's so weird. Like, that's really odd. Whereas Trump gets a free pass, you know? So I think if Harris is put... Because negative media coverage of Trump is going to happen anyway, regardless, because he's going to come out and say some odd statements. Whereas I think it would benefit Harris more to have some positive media.
Okay, but if I'm to rebut that... The media are starting to... say, even for Trump, there's noticeable decline. So within the public eye, people can see that he may not even have been the figure he was in May. Now, all his speeches, an hour and a half, there's no clear policy agenda at all. Even at least in 2016, he had some definitive policies, granted maybe not the most well thought out, to hang his hat on. He was going to repeal Obamacare. He had more coherent ideas on how to do that then than he does now. He was going to build a wall to keep out immigrants. He doesn't know how he's going to keep out immigrants now. He's just fueling rhetoric which is derisive and racist. And he was going to provide a strengthened economy. And I feel like even on the economy, he has less plan than he does now. All his advisors want him to do is say absolutely nothing, because if he's the moment he says anything,
he's done too much damage.
His rhetoric, if we played back and unpicked, there's probably very little about what he's actually going to do in office, and more about just the fact that the Democrats are awful. But I feel like this is a systemic issue on both sides at this point in the campaign. They're no longer talking about policies. Harris. The reason why Harris was up in August is because the Democrats were running on vibes, right? The joyful warrior.
I would just like to say, James is doing some very aggressive hand gestures. He's getting very into this.
But
they're running on vibes, yeah.
At that point, you can't... I hate to regurgitate something that Fox News said, but you can't eat vibes. I think people are starting to realise that you need something substantial to... fall back on with Harris. People need to even though she's got an 85-page economic plan, people need to be able to have those quick
no one's gonna read an 85-page economic plan
statements to turn to be like, I know I'm gonna be safe with Harris, my family's security is gonna be safe.
But I think it's Democrats know they won't be safe under Trump, but I think Republicans, even those who realize that Trump has lost his mind, or, sorry, I'll do a more neutral phrase. His cognitive abilities are slowly declining.
Well said.
Yeah, thank you. even if they realise that, I don't think that the reason that they're still going to vote for Trump is because they don't think the policies he implements in... He's not going to implement those policies in the White House. They think he's going to say these things, but he's not actually going to do them. So, you know, I think.
Well, should we start talking about what he has done?
Sorry, that's been a very long introduction, but there's a lot to talk about. So you want to talk about Pennsylvania? Just brief people on what happened there.
Yes. Yeah, so he had an all-female town hall meeting.
Trump loves women.
Obviously, this is trying to put out the idea that Trump is for women, especially in the wake of a very contentious abortion issue. Also this week, he did say that he was the father of IVF.
What does that mean?
I don't know what
Wait,
that means.
I have not seen that, James. I'm going to look that up right now. What is that? What?
I mean, again, IVF was being pushed by doctors too.
I looked up father of IVF. It comes up with top stories, NBC News. Trump says he's the father of IVF and recently learned what it is. Oh, dear.
I think it's questionable whether people in his orbit really understand how IVF works and how it's... I mean, it's not benefiting their campaign in any way to say that. And I think Harris was politically astute in redressing that and saying that Trump doesn't seem to really care one way or another about the abortion issue. It's all about what he can politically mobilize to get his base to support him. And I feel like this interview... meeting was full of soft pitches from these women. These were women who weren't prepared to challenge Trump in any way on the issues of abortion. And I don't know if his campaign had briefed him on what to say, but he didn't actually give us anything substantial about what he believes about the abortion issue and what he's going to do. We already know from the debate that he believes it's a state matter. Vance has backed that up.
Yeah.
And when push comes to shove, he'd rather sit on a stage and dance for 40 minutes than talk about abortion. So he's literally dancing around the issue.
Oh, that was cold. For those who haven't heard of Trump's recent happenings in Pennsylvania, this is a little clip from the Pennsylvania rally.
Go and vote. Let me hear that music, please.
Everyone, let's thank President Trump.
Nice and loud. So play YMCA. Go ahead. Let's go. Nice and loud.
I mean, I don't know. I want Trump's playlist. He's got some bangers on there. But yeah, so the whole point was, so two people in the audience had medical emergencies. So he stopped the rally and he was like, no one wants a Q&A anyway, because the rally was a Q&A. He was like, no one wants to hear me answer these questions. Everyone just wants to dance. Let's put on some music.
I think people did want to hear him answer the question.
Yeah, I think that's what they were there for. But everyone seemed to be having a great time boogieing to YMCA.
I mean, like, I wish Elon Musk was there so he could show people how to really move.
I sort of wish I was there, to be honest. So that in itself, I don't really know what that shows.
Shows one thing, which the Harris campaign's unpicked. Trump needs to show people his medical records, because at the same time, a sitting president should be able to hold people's attention and know what they're going to say and read off the text at a bare minimum for 40 minutes without that
rambling
level of interruption.
Yeah, agreed. I'm not sure why he thought that was an appropriate response to a medical emergency.
I'm not sure why he thinks most of the things are an appropriate response.
Sorry, I know you wanted this to be in like an unbiased episode, but that I actually can't defend. I'm not sure anyone can defend it.
Let's have a good time. That and say, in spite of that, he's still doing very well. So something in this formula is working. We all have to be very clear about that.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're speaking this way because people need to wake up. It's the final, like...
couple weeks. A bit weeks.
As you said, Harris isn't so hot at the moment as a candidate.
No. Okay. So we've had So, but basically, both candidates are trying to get their message across to as many people as possible. So Trump did that in Pennsylvania.
Mm.
Harris has also been in the media. She's been going on podcasts. She's been doing interviews. I think we have two examples, Fox News interview and Charlamagne interview.
Yeah, let's talk about Fox News.
Yeah, so that you actually watched a clip from that.
I did.
But basically, is the common consensus that she didn't perform particularly as well as one would hope?
Okay, here's the crux of it.
Mm.
The Democrats want to spin this as a win.
Yes.
Primarily because she had the guts to go on Fox News, which they knew wouldn't be politically favourable in terms of how they reported. And she held her own. And she tried to appeal to voters who she wouldn't normally reach by going on the more sympathetic left-wing media.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, on the right wing, they said that she didn't answer the questions that were set out.
Yes.
She didn't have an appropriate respect for Bret Baier by letting him fully answer the questions he was going to ask. I think there was a list of 75 questions, and he claimed that he only got through a tiny fraction of them,
mm-hmm.
Primarily because of the way Harris wanted to continue on in her answers.
Yeah.
He said to her that he had a hard deadline of 25 minutes, and she went over.
Yeah.
Well,
I think the deadline of 25 minutes and 75 questions is impossible.
Exactly.
Anyway.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what's the maths?
That's a question every 20 seconds.
And quite important question. Yeah. Not just like, what's your favourite colour?
I'm assuming he was going to only pick out a selection of them anyway.
I'm
going
to assume.
But I think after seeing it firsthand, she could have definitely answered some of those questions better. And there were times where a definitive answer would have helped her campaign a lot more than the answers she gave to try and attack Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like the Harris campaign is thinking the same way I'm thinking, in the case of people don't know Kamala Harris all that well, but they're not going to now.
Yeah.
So their best play is to keep attacking the person they do know.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what the 4 years in the
Trump.
White House
yeah.
were like for Trump. And he made some really massive errors.
Yes.
So if they can target those, then mm-hmm. that's probably the best way of going forward.
Yeah. So the interview was supposed to be centred to appeal to women.
Mm.
But they talked a lot about immigration and talked a lot about...
I've got a quick clip
issue.
Of Harris trying to speak over Bret Baier.
Please do. Please
that. Do. All right, let's go for it.
Turning the 70% page, of people
that is about
pollsters.
Turning the page on rhetoric that people are frankly exhausted of Bret.
You've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on.
Madam
you
Vice
and I
President.
Both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually
about.
Don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade,
but
people have become...
Power.
But listen, over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me, the former chief of staff to the president, Donald Trump, former defense secretaries, national security advisor, and his vice president, one that he is unfit to serve, that he is unstable, that he is dangerous.
So when we had Bret Baier on yesterday to preview...
that's enough for Fox
technological
for
default.
Now.
Yes. I just think she's saying a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
She's not... Do you know what? So, as humanities students, we're always told in the instruction, what examiners want to see is a clear thesis.
Mm.
They want to see the words, this essay will argue X. Okay? Harris needs a thesis.
Exactly.
Harris needs just clear one sentences.
It's the act that she had before is just not working anymore. So
no.
you need to be able
she needs
to
knuckle down. Do you think that's... I think it's a bit of both. That she's not completely clear on her policies, and she's that coupled with
I
she's
think
not
it all
a great
comes
public
back
speaker.
To the fact that she realizes her whole pledge is built around Biden's exoskeleton.
Well, she's trying to turn the page.
She is, but on a
but not doing it very well. Sort of, yeah.
And I feel like it speaks to her good nature that she doesn't want to rip up what he's done, because that would be backstabbing. And everyone commended her on that at the time. But now they realise for voters, it puts her in a very difficult position, because she is actually offering more of the same. It's a bit like iPhone when they come out with the new model and everyone's like, oh my God, they've put a third little camera on the
thing. Just a new charging port that's actually a bit inconvenient for everyone else. It's really, don't get the iPhone 15, guys.
And Trump's
really
there, like, offering some, like, Truth Social phone. Yeah. That, like, he's gonna...
I think the issue is because Trump is so sure of himself. When you go to a Trump rally, you know what you're going to... I mean, I can't speak for the Pennsylvania one. But it's the same... The leitmotif is consistent throughout. You will have a man who is sure of himself, who is sure of his policies, whatever they may be. I don't know.
Is he?
Well, he gives the appearance that he is, okay? Whereas Harris...
Okay,
I'm less sure what she would.
Nuance on that. I think he's sure about what he wants to do for the country. He's not entirely sure about how he's going to do that.
Yeah,
which is what,
yeah.
Which is exactly how Harris undermines him in that interview by, with the Affordable Care Act example, concepts of a plan. That's all he has for most policies. But people know under Trump, immigration is going to fall, and the economy is going to help a certain cross-section, and a lot of people want to see that happen.
But the most important thing you said there was that people know what is going to happen under Trump, and that Trump knows what's going to happen under Trump. Well, he thinks he knows, but he gives the appearance
of...
Everybody knows what's going to happen under Trump. No one knows what's going to happen under Harris, and she gives off that vibe, for want of a better word, in those interviews that she gives. I think people view Harris as someone who they don't know a lot about and they're unsure of. Trump may be slightly mental, but at least he's sure of himself and people know what's going to happen under him. And I think you have to kind of take that into consideration.
An interesting point there as well is that Harris herself is still figuring it out on the go, which
on
is
the job
really hard.
Yeah, I think it's difficult when you, when you're trying to break away from Biden, but, and she's so desperately trying to show that she
is. And let's be clear, Biden's entire legacy rests on Harris getting into the White House, which is also very
scary
for him.
Yeah, and we do forget about Joe from time to time. He is still president. I actually, with the situation that's happening in Israel and Gaza, There was a New York Times headline that was like, you know, started with Biden and then talked about that issue. And I was like, oh, he's still around. Like, he's still kicking. I just forget about that from time to time. I hope he's
doing
okay.
Should we talk about Trump's plans to have a rally at Madison Square Gardens?
Yeah. So I had the mental idea. Sorry. Okay. I'll talk about what the so Trump wants to have
some context.
Yeah, Trump wants to have a hold a rally in Madison Square Garden, which James said was stupid because New York is a blue state. So why is he trying to go there? And then I had the mental idea, because I'm going to be in New York next weekend, that I was going to go to this rally. Not as a Trump supporter. I would like to just point out, just, you know, like a Louis Theroux style, kind of see what could happen, get some political coverage. So I signed up for some tickets, and ever since I've been getting some very constant stream of messages.
Unfettered access to the inner workings of Trump's mind.
Well, the Trump now has my number, which I'm kind of scared about. So the first text was, so every text starts from Trump in big capital letters. I hate sending these texts, but this needs to be said. Here's 5 reasons to chip $5 before my town hall. He just wants money. From Trump, $11 before my FEC deadline. Imagine the look on Kamala's face when we set a new record. Yada yada yada. From Trump, I'm giving my blood, sweat and tears. All caps. New job offer from Trump. God. I know. And there was some... I got about 7 yesterday. Right. Oh, where are the... Okay, here it is. From Trump, I'll never stop loving you. Will you please give $15 before tomorrow night's deadline? I will be America's 47th president. From Trump, MAGA in Manhattan. So... I like it's just I tried to block the number and it hasn't hasn't worked. So
I did some research. Trump said I'm gonna fill the garden. It has a capacity of
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, do we?
It's huge capacity of Madison Square Garden. 19,500.
Okay, yeah, I did see. I think it is debatable whether he's going to...
Fill it out?
Yeah.
Did he fill out Coachella? There was some debate around that. People thought that he didn't, but... Or that he wasn't going to be able to. This was obviously pre-third assassination attempt.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so... The Madison Square Garden is...
Well, it says Coachella's capacity is up to 125,000 people, so I doubt that he did.
Yeah, I doubt that he did do that. But anyway, people are trying to... So the tickets for the rally are free, mm-hmm. and people are trying to get them and then not go, so that they can kind of...
But if we talk about why he's doing this, I think, to the point, he... must be tired of just going to the same states mm. and not having the reception he wants. He yeah. wants some home comfort.
Yeah.
In this last little...
Trump Tower.
Yeah. And I think that he realises if he doesn't get elected, this is his last chance to do something like this. So it's almost a farewell tour.
Until 2028. Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying.
The band's not getting back together.
That's so upsetting. That's that's a very sad way of putting it. But yeah, so he's basically going to get up on stage in Madison Square Garden and just talk about how Kamala's failed America and that the Biden administration has failed.
I do want to discuss how indicative this is of the political system in the US. Full stop. That the only way for both candidates to win is to throw insults at each other instead of talking about how you want to be elected, which is how in our political system it's done.
Yes.
And I know that their whole campaign funding is almost centered around these attack ads at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think people want that level of division at this point in the country. They want to see the proverbial turning of the page that Harris is talking about.
They
want
to see Waltz and Vance hug it out on TV again.
I think that if Obama was in this race, hypothetically, he would be using the strength of his own campaign rather than trying to deliberately target Trump.
Well, I think,
I believe that where Harris is strong is when she makes Trump look small rather than making him like saying he's pathetic or that he's unstable. I think that you've got to downplay his policies while saying he is going to be a threat to our country.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good recipe for her.
But I think that was why Fox News was a good strategy.
When did Harris look like she was the strongest? It was after that debate. So that, I think that's exactly why she needed another one.
Well, Trump wouldn't let her.
Exactly. If we were talking about this and she had another one on Tuesday, I believe that would be the event which gave her that edge.
If she performed well.
I think she would. Because we've established, he's not going to say anything of no. That substantiates his policies.
Well, he's going to say things of note, they're just not going to be
interesting. There's going to be some sound bites. He might even try and stop the debate halfway through and get a musical interlude going.
Unmute the mics.
It'll be even better than
that would be so
Vance
good.
And waltz with their whole dance party. They even get the
They get the wives on. Yeah. Oh, we'll get they get a German Shepherd on. It'll be a lot of fun. I think with any political, well, presidential campaign involving Trump, you're gonna have it's gonna be a battlefield because he can't lose, and he hasn't lost according to himself. He didn't lose 2020.
And that brings us on to one other thing I want to talk about, which is important. Election subversion. So Trump is already laying the foundations for calling this another rigged election if he doesn't win. 6 out of 9 of the Supreme Court justices are conservatives in favour of potentially more Republican agendas.
Yeah.
And 3 of those 6 he elected in office himself. I don't know if they feel any personal level of allegiance to him, but I feel that puts American democracy in a very difficult place if he loses.
Well, so there's been a lot of talk about what Trump would do if he does lose and if he would kick up a fuss about it, and a lot of American voters are scared about what will happen. They don't want a repeat of January 6th. And I think people are wondering whether Trump would actually go as far as he did after 2020 in a couple of weeks' time. I'm not sure what you think about it.
I think that the main difference is he's not an incumbent. So he can't almost incite the same level of rioting that he did back then.
Yeah.
But what he can do is ring up anyone in any one of those swing states where it's only thousands of votes difference and say, he's got more people behind him because he's got the strength of the Republican Party. There are a lot of governors out there who might try and finagle the voting. Early voting's already happened. We don't even know if some of this stuff's going on as we speak.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it's so weird to think about.
And I think he realizes that he can do it more through the legislative process this time.
Yeah.
Which, again, is what the Harris campaign needs to target if they want to make voters see the damage that Trump's doing. Look at I don't believe he's still completely detached from the rhetoric of Project 2025. He wants to pack the judiciary. He wants to make the legislature completely partisan.
Yeah.
And he wants to do everything he wants to do with and no level of checked power. And that's not how the American system of government's supposed to work.
Well, he doesn't act like he's supposed to.
The public needs to tell him that that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's like telling off your 5-year-old when they've... Yeah. Drawn on the wall.
Well, I think also, you know, once the election happens, very soon after you have Trump's lawsuit.
That is true.
So I think people are wondering maybe whether Trump's going to go into like a downward spiral if he does lose. Because he's lost the election. What happened to the lawsuit? Who knows? But it could be a very bad month for Trump, or it could be a very good month for Trump. So we'll see. Should we recap by just looking at the polls?
Yeah.
So last week, when James was in DC, we were looking at Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like Harris had a lead. Harris still does have a lead, but smaller one, but it's the gap is closing, I think we like to say. But you found a very interesting graph on the history of voting in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania has a population of 13 million.
13?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2,700 people, making it the 5th most populous state in the United States, which gives it exactly 19 Electoral College votes, more than any of the other swing states, which is why people are calling it the Keystone State in this election. And
United States of Pennsylvania.
Both candidates need to be playing hard for if they want to win.
Yes.
In 2020, they brought it home for their boy, Joe Biden. 2016 went to Trump. And from 1992 to 2012, was all Democrats. So it looks off the face of that, okay, that it was a comfortable Democratic state until Trump overturned that.
Trump is the turning point. Yeah. I'm just getting out the polls now. So Harris does have a small lead over Trump, but the gap is closing. Okay. And there's a lot of say that the polls will not change much. I've just got another text from Trump. $5 for a signed Elon Musk hat. Sorry, I got distracted by Elon Musk and Trump, as many people do. Sorry, I'm just trying to get the polls up. Okay, actually, from this morning, they've changed. National polling average, Harris is 49%, Trump is 47%. So Harris is a +2 advantage. So Michigan, 48 and 48. North Carolina, 48 and 48. Trump has a tiny majority there. Wisconsin, 49 and 49, with Harris having a bit of a majority. Nevada, 48 to Harris, 47 to Trump. Pennsylvania, 49% to Harris, 48% to Trump. Georgia, Trump is winning, and Arizona, Trump is winning too.
But have the polls been wrong before?
Yes, I mean, they do. There's a little like disclaimer. It's like, these polls may change. Like, don't take anything. I was like, okay, fine. Wait. Yeah, it's very funny.
Even up to the day of the election where they said that Clinton had it in the bag and...
Yeah. You had a very interesting argument to make. You said that... statistic. You said that Harris now has the same amount of votes as Clinton did. Was I correct in thinking that?
Harris has the same... Harris has the same predicted in the polls,
okay,
as Clinton,
and we all know how that turned out.
Exactly, but again, hopefully the polls aren't completely accurate. The reality is, whether it says 47-49 to Harris, it could very well in reality be 49-47 to Trump. We don't know.
Yeah,
even the pollsters don't completely know.
I think people are saying that the last thing Democrats should do in the month of October is look at polls, because everything and nothing.
Yeah.
I think it's all speculation.
All you can do is, if you are in one of these swing states, get out there and make your vote count.
Yeah. Whoever you may be.
Find your cousin's best friend's sister's who lives in Pennsylvania, yeah, and shake them and be like
vote. I might start wearing a top or a hat.
I did see actually in Michigan one 12-year-old's designed a very interesting werewolf themed I voted sticker in time for Halloween.
A 12-year-old did this?
Yeah, and they are using it at poll stations.
Wow, incredible. That's fun.
Maybe we should come out with our own sticker.
What?
Like an
vote for...
Just vote.
I'm trying to think. I'm not very good at graphic design. I'm trying to think how we can incorporate CT into vote. There's a lot of... maybe we should. In 17 days, we can make it happen. We can change the election. Very interesting.
And remember, guys, no matter what happens,
we all love each other.
The UK is going to be just fine.
Yeah, Starmer's still around. We haven't forgotten about him. We can't say the same for other countries around the world, unfortunately. But that's the interesting thing. I think what happens in the US election has one of the single most biggest effects on other countries. I mean,
the foreign policy
pivotal
implications are massive.
Huge. So that's why it's very important to vote. I think that's all for this week.
Yeah. Next week is...
getting closer.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas Day.
I know.
We should get each other presents. Maybe we'll have Tom back.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have a replenished panel.
I've enjoyed this being a low-key episode.
It has been. It's been a lot of coverage. I think that there's going to be a lot more to dissect in the coming week. It will be just before Trump's big rally. I'm sure Harris has some more in the pipeline.
Let's hope so.
Before the end of the election.
She needs it.
Maybe she can rebut Trump by doing an all-male town hall. That would be quite interesting.
And dancing.
Yeah.
Maybe she should have a dance-off. That would be so fun. Maybe her husband. She should get her husband. Her husband needs to do something, I feel like.
On the decks.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe there should be. Maybe there'll be a fourth assassination attempt.
Hopefully not.
I'm not wishing that on Trump. But yeah, so it's only going to get more exciting from here.
Exactly.
And I hope everyone's excited.
And we'll be right there with you.
Yes, we will.
All right. Bye, guys.